It's so lovely to see you all, and I'm so happy to hear how everyone was singing. That tells us that we are very joyful to worship the Lord. So please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. We are going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 today. But before we dive into this passage, let me pray. Our gracious Father, we are so grateful that we can sing all these songs knowing who you are. For you are God who is the author of all creation, the Lord of every man. And Father, we are so thankful that even though we were walking in disobedience, not seeking you, you loved us. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. And in that, Lord, we are joyful and we are thankful. And we do pray that, Lord, would you please open our hearts that we might be receptive to your word. And that after hearing your word, we might not remain the same, but be transformed by it and grow more and more into Christ's likeness and always seek to glorify you in all the things that we do. And I do pray for myself as well, that Lord, would you help me to be able to preach with clarity, with confidence and boldness. Would you please empower me by your Spirit that I might be able to proclaim this truth to all of us. And we are mindful of those amongst us who are unsaved. Lord, we pray that would you work within their hearts such that even as they hear your word, they might be convicted of their sins and turn to our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have been going through 1 Corinthians, and last time we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, which is a series we are going, we'll be looking at chapters 8 all the way to chapter 11, verse 1. That is the series that we are going through in 1 Corinthians. And in those chapters, Paul addresses the problem that had arisen within the church. And this problem had to do with liberty, and specifically food offered to idols. And as a way of a reminder, this is what was happening in the church. There were other brothers who were misusing their freedom, that is their Christian liberty. And that misuse of their liberty, we saw it last time, where the mature believers were seeing nothing wrong in eating meat that has been offered to idols. But this was a stumbling block to other less mature Christians who were saved out of idol worship. And this was a big deal in the church. So they wrote to Paul to hear what he thinks of the matter. And the question they could have raised is, why can't we eat food offered to idols? Why can't we? Because we have freedom in Christ. All the things that has not been directly addressed in the Bible, we know that we have freedom in Christ to decide what to do. But they were misusing that liberty because they didn't realize that it was a stumbling block to others. But you might be asking or thinking, what do you mean by Christian liberty? What is that? I'll quote one of the commentators who described it quite well. And he said, as Christians, we have been freed in respect to such activities that is not expressly forbidden in the Bible. Therefore, one can feel free to engage in such activities as long as it doesn't cause others to sin. And we see it in 1 Peter 2:16, where he said, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil. That's Christian liberty. So do you remember what we saw last time of why this was such a big deal in the church? Let me briefly give you details. In Corinth, it was a common practice that people would go and eat meat in places where idol worship was practiced. For example, in temples, they would freely go there and eat meat because they were saying, there's nothing wrong in eating that meat. So they would go there. So mature Christians who knew that idols are nothing could eat that meat with clear conscience. And because they know that it won't contaminate us, it won't have any effect on our spiritual life. So we can eat and we have freedom to choose what to do because it's not directly addressed in the Bible. So we are free to choose. So they would go there and eat. More so, this meat that has been offered to idols will be sold in marketplaces. It was everywhere. Because the priests would have more than they need, so they'll end up selling what they didn't want to use. And then the problem was that those who were young in the faith struggled with eating such meat, since some of them were saved from idol worship and they had become Christians. To them, eating such meat was against their conscience, but because of seeing mature Christians eat, they would likewise eat, and thus going against their conscience. That was the problem in the church. Thus, Paul, in responding to this, as I have mentioned earlier, he took 3 chapters to answer it. And all these 3 chapters deal with the same subject, freedom in Christ. So in chapter 8, he warned them that they are to take care of this right of theirs, which is freedom, such that it does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak, meaning to less mature believers. So we saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And not only did he give them a warning, but a principle with which they are to use in dealing with such issues, especially gray areas. And the principle we saw in chapter 8 was loving our brothers and sisters by being considerate of them. That is, limiting our liberties by love. That was the principle that Paul gave them. And this is the principle the church of Corinth was missing, and we too are missing. Because sometimes we tend not to think of others. Because we are selfish, we think more of ourselves. And that was the problem as well in the church of Corinth. So Paul here is saying to the church, look, whatever you do, as you use your freedom in Christ, make sure you think how that affects your brothers and sisters in Christ. Think of them, love them, be considerate of them. Otherwise, you might cause them to sin. Look what he said in Galatians chapter 5. You can turn there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. This is what we read. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, save one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this summarizes the principle Paul is teaching. Therefore, the chapter we are looking at today, chapter 9, Paul used his life as an illustration to show how he applied that principle in his own life. It is an indication that Paul is living out what he is teaching. So he used himself as an example to illustrate that I am living that principle I'm teaching you. And that is why he said in chapter 11, verse 1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So we are going to see how Paul laid down his rights for the sake of love and the advancement of the gospel. And we will learn from his example and thus apply the same principle of laying down our rights for the sake of love and the advancement of the gospel. So please follow with me as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read the whole passage. It's only 27 verses. Please follow with me as I read. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are not you my workmanship in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who would examine me. Do we not have the right to eat and drink? Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? Do I say these things on human authority? Does not the law say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for oxen that God is concerned? Does he not certainly speak for our sake? It was written for our sake, because the plowman should plow in hope, and the thresher thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision. For I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So that's read God's word. So this is where we are going. I want to give you an outline so that it will be easy to follow through. So we're going to see from verses 1 to 18, Paul's giving up of his apostolic rights. That's the first section we're going to see. Paul's giving up of his apostolic rights. That's verses 1 to 18. And then verses 19 to 23, we're going to see Paul's enslavement to all people. And then lastly, verses 24 to 27, Paul's exercise of his self-control. So let us dive into the passage. The first point, Paul's giving up of his apostolic rights. If you look at the text, it begins with a rhetorical question, and a rhetorical question is a question that does not require an answer. The answer is obvious. If it is no, it's no. If it is yes, it's yes. So it doesn't need people to respond to it. And in this case, the answer is always a yes. So Paul asks four rhetorical questions. Look at verse 1. The first one, am I not free? And then the second one, am I not an apostle? And the third one, If I had not seen Jesus, our Lord, and lastly, the fourth one, are not you my workmanship in the Lord? Those are the four rhetoric questions Paul asked, and he didn't want people to respond because he knew that they agree with what he is saying. So people will be saying, yes, Paul, we agree with what you are saying. And these questions shows that Paul did not only give up his freedom that all Christians, all of us have. We see that in the first rhetoric question. Am I not free? We are all free in Christ to decide what is it that we want to do, because the Bible does not directly address that certain issue, so we can decide what is it that we want to do. So Paul is saying, I'm like you. I am free like you. I have that freedom in Christ. But he goes on to point out that I gave up more than that. Not only my freedom in Christ, but I want to show you that I gave up more than that. I gave up my apostolic rights. And I'm an apostle. You know that. I have seen Jesus Christ. And everyone agrees with that, because these are the events that happens in chapter 9. So these people know that Paul's apostleship was from the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he's asking them, am I not an apostle? And the answer is yes, they know, and they agree. So he's saying, you cannot deny my apostleship, you know. By the way, if others see me not as an apostle, but at least I am an apostle to you, you are the proof of my apostleship. If others say, Paul is not an apostle, but to you I am an apostle. Why? Because I brought the gospel to you. And the details of him bringing the gospel to Corinth, we see it in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 11. That's the time where we are told how Paul brought the gospel to the Corinthians. So when he's saying, at least to you, I'm an apostle, they agree, because he was the one who brought the gospel to them and they were saved through his message. So they agree that, yes, Paul, you are an apostle. And Paul lived among the Corinthians, ministering to them for 18 months. We see that in Acts 18:11. And when he was in Corinth that time, he supported himself. And he did that through tent making. You read in Acts 18. Even though he had a right to be supported by the church because he was ministering among them, but he chose not to use that right. And we'll see that in verses 12 and 15 of 1 Corinthians 9. So Paul is making a point that, look, I am free in Christ like you. More than that, I am an apostle, but I choose to lay down my rights. So the principle I am teaching you, I am living it out. I'm laying down my rights for the sake of love and for the sake of the advancement of the gospel. Even though I had this liberty of getting from you because I'm ministering among you, you could have been supporting me, but I laid down that right. I worked as a tent maker. And the implication is that if we love Christ and his people, we will not push for our rights, but lay it down for the benefit of others and for the advancement of the gospel of Christ. And that's what we live for. We live for Christ. We live for him. And we want the world to know him. So if we know that there might be something that might hinder us sharing the gospel to people, even though we might have a right to say, but well, it's not directly addressed in the Bible to say I shouldn't do it or I should do it, what do I do? Paul is saying, lay down your rights for the sake of love and for the sake of the advancement of the gospel. And we cannot continue to hold on to our rights, because the use of our rights might be a stumbling block to others. It might be a hindrance to the coming of faith for other people around us, your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues. And think of this. Would you be willing to die to self for the sake of others? And Paul is a good example of how he had a liberty, but chose to forego it for the sake of others. Let's look at verse 4 following. Paul is saying, let me show you that I too have a right to do whatever I want. I can ask you to support me financially because that is the biblical principle. But I gave that up. So in verse 4 we read, do we not have the right to eat and drink? This, of course, is pointing to the fact that the church has a responsibility of taking care of their pastor. And that was the case with the Corinthians. They were supposed to take care of Paul. Thus, Paul is making a point that as a minister of God's word among you, I have a right of eating and drinking at the church expense. So the answer to the question is, of course, Paul, we know that we are supposed to support you. But he didn't want them to support. He gave that right so that it won't be a hindrance to them hearing the gospel. And this truth of supporting the pastor financially, we see it also in 1 Timothy 5, 17 to 18. I think we saw that when Uncle Richard was going through 1 Timothy. And there, Paul made it clear that those who labor in preaching and teaching, especially elders who does that, they are to be considered as worthy of double honor. And of course, that is referring to remunerations. They are to be paid. And we also see this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, where he says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. So when Paul is saying, I had the liberty to be supported by you, and he's saying, this is a biblical principle, but I chose to lay down that right for the sake of you, that you might hear the gospel without thinking, well, Paul is in the ministry for money. He chose to lay down his right for that. Also look at verse 5. He's saying, do we not have the right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles and brothers of the Lord and Cephas? In this, Paul is saying, I have a right to take along a sister in Christ as my wife and expect you, the church, to support me and my wife. I have a right to do that. And the church won't disagree with that because they know that that's exactly what they were supposed to do. So Paul is showing them that, look, I am free in Christ. I also had the liberty, just like you are. But let me show you that I chose to lay down my rights for the sake of you. So here are my liberties. Here are some things that you were supposed to do for me, but I chose to lay it down. And it was supporting him. And he picked out Peter and the brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ, James and John, the other sons of Joseph and Mary, as an example, since these were married and were taking along their wives in the ministry. So Paul is saying, do I not have the right, as these brothers, for the church to support me and my family? I have that right. And in verse 6, he goes on to say, or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living? In other words, he's saying, is it only myself and Barnabas who are not to be supported by the church as we are ministering to them? And the answer is, of course not. As you are ministering among us, we are supposed to support you. So Paul is laying down his rights to say, these are my rights. I was supposed to get this, but I chose to lay it down for the sake of you and the gospel. And to show these believers that it is indeed necessary that workers are to be paid, he used three illustrations. One, that of a soldier, which we see in verse 7, and a farmer, that is also in verse 7. A farmer who is the one who plants a vineyard, and also a shepherd who tends the flock. Those are three illustrations that he's using to say workers need to be paid for what they're doing. And all these three examples illustrate that they benefit from the work that they do. Someone shouldn't work and then he doesn't get paid. He has to be paid. So Paul too has a right to benefit from those he is ministering to. He has a right to be supported. And that's his argument. and to make sure that these believers know that this is not from human authority. Paul is not just telling them this because he wants money. He's saying, this is not from me. And he pointed out that it's a biblical principle. Look at verses 8 and 9. I'll read that. Verse 8 and 9. Do I say these things on human authority? Does not the law say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for oxen that God is concerned? So in verse 9, Paul quotes from Deuteronomy 25:4, which is a law given to Moses that people are not to let the oxen, they are not to stop the oxen eating as they work. It should eat while it's working. And from this quotation, Paul is trying to show these believers that workers ought to be paid for their work. And he made this clear that he had the right to be paid in the following verses, verses 10 and 11. He says, does he not certainly speak of our sake? It was written for our sake because the plowman should plow in hope and the thresher in hope of sharing in the crop. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? Thus Paul is saying, I have a right as a minister of God's word among you and also as an apostle to be supported financially by you. And all these rights, he mentioned them in verses 4 to 11. And look what he says in verse 12. If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. So he's saying, but I laid down this right that I had. And we see that in the sense where he said, nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. So Paul is saying, look at my example. Though we had the right to be supported financially, we laid it down. And the word endure there means we did not complain or we bear it in silence. Why did Paul did that? In order that we might not cause any hindrance to the gospel. And that was the reason why Paul laid down his rights. Would you be able to die to self, willing to give up your rights such that others might hear the gospel? Such that you might not be a stumbling block to other brothers and sisters? Would you do that? So this was a big deal to Paul, that in his ministry, he might not be hindered in any way. So rather than him ask for support, he worked as a tent maker. And so there would not be any accusation that, Paul, you are in the ministry for money. So he laid down his rights. So that those people, as they hear the gospel, they won't be thinking, this guy is into this ministry for money. So because he was not demanding from them, they would listen. So he used that opportunity to share the gospel, to point them to our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul added more details, which indicate that he had the right to be supported. We see this in verses 18, where he gives an example of those who work in the temple service to say, those who work in the temple, obvious, they get their food from the temple. And in the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. And he's making it clear to them that I was supposed to get it from you because the Lord commanded, but I chose to lay down my rights such that you might hear the gospel. That's Paul is saying, I have this right, but I choose not to use it. Verse 15. And he added to say, I'm not telling you this that you might feel guilty and that you'd begin to pay me. That's not the point. And we see his strong conviction, if you like, where he says, I'd rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. And commenting on that statement, John MacArthur said, he, meaning Paul, would rather have been dead than have anyone think he preached and taught for money. That's why he laid down his rights. And what a sacrifice that Paul made to make sure his ministry to the Church of Corinth would not be tainted by wrong thinking. You know, if people think this person is into the ministry for money, then we might miss the opportunity to share the gospel with that person. Because the moment you're trying to share the gospel with them, they're thinking, well, he's here to get. If you come across as you evangelize in the streets, where by the time you want to start sharing the gospel, people will be like, oh, you are those guys. I come across that a lot. Why? Because people are thinking those who are ministering or those who are sharing the gospel, they want money from them. So Paul is using that as an example to say, look, I laid down my rights not to get from you, the Church of Corinth, that you might hear the gospel, that it might not be a hindrance for you, but you would listen to God's word, and then some of you will be saved. So his example is the example that he's saying we have to follow. We have to die to self. We have to give up our rights, those rights that you still hold on to. He's saying, die to that and make sure you have an opportunity to the advancement of the gospel. And also, that will be a way of not being a stumbling block to the brothers and sisters in Christ. So Paul was being considerate of these brothers and sisters in Christ in the Church of Corinth. That's why he gave up his right. And look what he's saying in verse 15. I don't have any reason to boast in my preaching because it is a necessity laid upon me. Woe to me if I don't do that, if I don't preach the gospel. For this is what I've been called to do, and I do it joyfully. I was not forbidden to use my rights of being supported by you, the Church of Corinth, but I choose to lay it down. And I rejoice in that because it is an opportunity for me to present the gospel free of charge. And that is my reward. And that was the motivation for Paul, to say, I have to present the gospel free of charge so that people won't be thinking you are here for money and then it will be a hindrance for them, for some of them to come to Christ. So he laid down his right for the sake of these brothers and for the sake of the gospel. So to say, it is my joy to share the gospel free of charge, saying that's my reward, to be joyful in doing that. Because what he said is, this stewardship I've been given by God, whether I like it or not, I have to preach. But this right of laying, this idea of laying down my rights, it's me who chose to do it. And I find joy in that. And that's why I'm giving the gospel free of charge. And that's my reward. So I take great joy in laying down my right so that you will benefit from it. So Paul is using himself as an example here to say, look, I had this right to be supported by you, but I laid down that right, and my reward is that I present the gospel free of charge, and I take delight in that. I do this because I love you, and that is why I'm giving up my rights. Let me ask you, friends, are you willing to give up your rights for the sake of loving other brothers and sisters? Even for unbelievers, would you be willing to give up your rights? Would you give up your rights for the sake of pointing many around you to our Lord Jesus Christ? Because you might be thinking, well, the Great Commission does not say you have to evangelize every day. So you might be thinking, well, even if I can do it once a month, it's fine. But there are a lot of people around you that you talk to every day, but you don't share the gospel. So here's an encouragement to say, we have to do whatever we do to point many to our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we love Christ, and if we love his people, we will lay down our rights for the sake of those brothers, such that they would come to know Christ. We give up our rights for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the advancement of the gospel. Let's look at our second point. Verses 19 to 23. Paul's enslavement to all people. Paul's enslavement to all people. Paul, beginning from verse 19, used another example of himself on how he chose to lay down his rights, and in this case, he enslaved himself to all people. Why? Why did he do that? So that he might win more. It was his love for all people that made him give up his rights. He did not want to be a stumbling block to people, nor was he wanting to be a hindrance to people from coming to faith. So in order for him to freely go and give the gospel to all people, he enslaved himself to all people. You can see how this verse depicts the giving up of his rights. He said, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all." Paul was a freeman because he was in Christ. And with all these gray areas, he was free to decide what is it that I want to do, because it's not directly addressed in the Bible. It's not forbidden. It's not commanded. So he was a freeman. He has the right to exercise his liberty, but he did not consider all that. His desire was to see people come to know Christ. And he could do anything to let that happen. He was willing to give up his liberty if that means more people would come to know Christ. He did that. And with the ESV that we are using, it used the word servant. But I think it's best translated slave or enslaved. And it is used 8 times in the New Testament. For example, in Romans 6, verses 18 and 22, that word that is translated as servant in ESV is translated in 6:18 as slaves of righteousness. And then in verse 22, is translated as slaves of God. We see it also in Acts 7, verse 6, where the word is translated enslaved. And in this case, it describes how the Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians for 400 years. So if we take this word as slave, it really shows how Paul took this seriously, where he gave up his rights to be a slave for all people. It shows that it is not an easy thing, but he did that so as to win more people to Christ. He enslaved himself to all people. So let me ask you, what rights have you let go that enabled the advancement of the gospel? Maybe you've never thought of that. You can think of that now. What rights have you let go that enabled the advancement of the gospel? Or what rights do you still hold on to that is somehow hindering unbelievers around you to come to know Christ? It might be at work, whether with your family or friends. Do you have rights that you still hold on to that are hindering these people to come to know Christ? Is it because of friendship? Because I know some people might say, well, I know the gospel is offensive, but I'm not going to share it with this friend of mine, because once I do, I'm going to leave that relationship. Would you be willing to give up that desire of having a friend for the sake of pointing that person to Christ? So have you laid your rights to let the gospel be heard by people around you? Maybe it's a culture where you say, well, I don't feel comfortable sharing the gospel with these people. Is it culture that is something that you're still holding on to? And if you still hold on to that, then who is going to share the gospel with those people that you think, it's not my culture? Paul is saying, I gave up my rights for the sake of the gospel. And this is an example. You too should follow that. I'm living the principle I'm teaching you, loving others. I'm living that. So you too, you have to do it. Lay down your rights for the sake of love and for the advancement of the gospel. By the way, does any of you find it easy to die to self, if I may ask? Especially to give up your rights for the sake of others. Is it an easy thing? It's not. But Paul chose to lay down his rights. Why? He wanted more people to come to know Christ. He died to self. And if we know that we have been saved, if we have that joy to say, I have good news, are you going to shy away from sharing that good news with others? Of course not. We have been singing all glory to Christ. If we want that to happen, then it should motivate us to go and share the gospel, die to self so that the gospel would advance and others who have never heard the gospel might hear it. So to Paul, he's saying, to the Jews, I became like Jews. He's now showing what he did exactly, because he said, I've enslaved myself to all. So now he's being specific to say, let me show you how I did that. So he's saying, to the Jews, I became as a Jew. Why? In order to win the Jews. And thinking of all the Jewish tradition, Paul accommodates all that. Though he is no longer bound to all those things, all their ritual ceremonies, he's not bound to that. But he accommodates it. Why? He wanted to minister to them, to point them to Christ. So he adapted his lifestyle to theirs so he can reach out to them. Do you still remember when he joined the Jewish purification in Acts 21? Verse 23 to 26. Maybe let's turn there. Acts 21. Verses 23 to 26. This is what we read. Do therefore what we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow. Take these men and purify yourself along with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads. Thus all will know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself also live in observance of the law. But as for the Gentiles who have believed, we have sent a letter with our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. Then Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself along with them and went into the temple, giving notice when the days of purification would be fulfilled and the offering presented for each one of them. Paul did that. Was he supposed to do it? Was he bound to do it? No, but he chose to do it. You know, it was his desire that his brothers, the Jews, would come to know to Christ, so he chose to do that. That's how he reached out to them. He became like one of them. And also we are told that to those under the law, he became like the one under the law. It's the same group. Meaning he was willing to live like them so that he might not hinder them from coming to Christ. He wanted to do anything he can to win the Jews. We see how Paul had Timothy circumcised so that they might be able to reach out to the Jews. We see that in Acts 16:23. Timothy was a Gentile, but he was circumcised. Why? Because they wanted to reach out to the Jews. So they laid their right to say, well, I can choose not to be circumcised or not because it doesn't have any effect on me. I'm free in Christ. But they chose to circumcise Timothy such that they will be able to reach out to the Jews, share the gospel, point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they gave up their rights. So basically the point here is, deny yourself, see others as more significant than yourself, and if you do that, that is love. Because love is supposed to be to guide how we exercise our rights, and that's the principle that Paul has been teaching. Give up your rights if you can, as long as that would lead others to Christ. As long as that would make your lifestyle unoffensive to other brothers and sisters in Christ. And especially to those who are weak, the less mature brothers and sisters. So he's saying, I, Paul, is how I live my life. So see my life as an example. Apply the same principle of love for others and let go your liberty for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the glory of God. Let go your rights. Like that God will be glorified in your endeavors to reach out to unbelievers. I remember when Uncle Richard was teaching and preaching on prayer, I was convicted to say, those who know theology tend to think, well, God is sovereign. And in this case, you might be thinking, well, God is sovereign. He can send whoever he wants to reach out to those that are unreached with the gospel. But Paul is saying, we want God to be glorified, and he uses us. Give up your rights and reach out to those people. And then Paul goes on to say, especially now to the group of the Gentiles, which is the second group, verse 21. He says, "To those who are not under the law, I became like them, because I want to reach out to them." Paul lived like Gentiles so that he might win them. And when it says outside the law of God, so to be outside the law does not refer to the fact that Paul was living as he pleases. That's not the point. We see him emphasizing that in the words that are in the brackets. Not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. He lived not as a Jew who have ceremonial laws, but as Gentiles who does not have those ceremonial laws, but they are under the law of Christ. They are under the law of God. Because with Gentiles, though they do not have those ceremonial worship, they know that there is God. And it is wrong to kill. Those are the laws of God. But here Paul is referring to the ceremonial laws of the Jews. He's saying, to these guys that doesn't have those laws, I became like them. And I did that so that I would win them to Christ. So he lived like Gentiles and doing the things that they do. And he know that if I do this, then it will open a door for me. It will open an opportunity for the gospel. So he was willing to do all those things that he might win them to Christ. So love for Christ and love for these people made Paul give up his right. And I think this is what we have to do too. If we love God and if we love his people, we would want more worshippers. And then the third group that Paul describes are those that are weak. He said, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. And this refers to those who are already Christians, but are less mature. Those who are young in the faith, if I can put it that way, he became like them in order to win them to Christ, in order to encourage them to walk in the newness of life, to point them to Christ. Paul did that. He enslaved himself to all people for the advancement of the gospel and for the sake of love, not only for believers, but for unbelievers as well. And then if you look at the second part or verse 22 and 23, it sums it all. Paul became all things to all men. He gave up his rights and enslaved himself to all. He did all this for the sake of the gospel. He did all this such that he might save some by all means, bringing the gospel to them. Because he knew that the gospel has the power to save. So if I bring the gospel faithfully, if that person hears, the Lord will work within his heart. So he did that by all means, that he would reach to many people with the desire that many of them would come to know Christ. And that does not mean in all his endeavors he compromised the gospel. Because you might be thinking, well, so that means I can do anything to reach out to these people. And sometimes we do that by compromising the gospel. But Paul is saying, in all my endeavors, I did not compromise the gospel. I reached out to them faithfully, giving them the gospel. So he wanted these people to become partakers in the gospel. So we give up our rights, not only for the sake of love for other believers, but also for unbelievers. We can do anything we can to bring the gospel to these people. And it would be a joy to know that these brothers have now become part of God's family. We find joy in that. And that's what Paul is saying. Let's look at our last point. We're looking at verses 24 to verse 27. Paul's exercise of his self-control. Beginning from verse 24, Paul is showing us that in order to apply this principle of loving our brothers by laying down our rights and for the sake of winning more people to Christ, he should come with discipline. There is no way you can put that into practice if you do not exercise self-control. You go to work towards that. If you are to win souls, you have to exercise self-control. You don't have to have a knowledge that you ought to lay down your rights for the sake of love and the gospel, but you have to discipline yourself and work towards that, and then God will help you. And look at this rhetoric question in verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. And the Corinthians knew very well what Paul was talking about. And they understood that very well. Especially this metaphor that he is using. Because in Corinth, games were a big deal. They had games like throughout the year. And one of the games that was held in Corinth every year, it was an athletic festival called the Isthmian Games. So they knew all about sports. And when Paul is saying, when runners are running, they run to win, they knew exactly what Paul meant. And within that athletic festival, those who would participate in it would have to train for 10 months. And then the last 30 days before the event, they would have to go to Corinth and train every day in those fields. So it was discipline. They were disciplined to know that once I am fit, then I will be able to participate in the athletic. And their goal was to win. So they disciplined themselves for that. And after all this training, then they would run. And then what they would receive is leaves, a pine wreath. Imagine all these 10 months and that 30 days of discipline, and then they receive leaves. That was important to them. It was. But Paul is saying, to us Christians is different. It is different. If these were exercising self-control to get that pine wreath, what about us? Are we not supposed to discipline our bodies? And And the goal of these people were to discipline themselves like that they would win. And the beauty of this is that us as Christians, everyone is running the race and everyone can win. It's different from those games in Corinth where only one was supposed to be the winner. But for us, we are all in the race and we all can win. Thus, if you are running this race to win many people to Christ, to point many to Christ, you have to exercise self-control. You have to run that you might win, and our reward is an imperishable, unlike these athletes who are running to win, and then they would receive leaves. Have you seen guys who do marathon? Most of them gives up good things, good food that they enjoy eating. Why? Because they want to be disciplined to prepare for the big event that they will be doing. We too can do the same. We discipline ourselves toward that goal of winning many to our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice also that this has to be planned. You have to know the goal. But Paul here says, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. You know, when you are running in the track, there will be others trying to be in your track so that you'll be slow. So Paul is saying, I know the goal. The goal is to win. And in this case, the goal is to win many to Christ. There might be a lot of things that might be hindering you for doing that. But he's saying, I fight. Because I know the goal that I want to win. And that should be our attitude. If we know that we want many to come to Christ, no matter what might hinder us in sharing the gospel, we have to know the goal for the glory of God, for many worshippers to come and worship the Lord. That's the goal. So here Paul makes a point that he's doing all this, he's exercising self-control and applying this principle of laying the rights, his rights for the sake of love, lest he fails to live according to the requirements he teaches and thus make himself disqualified. Brothers, this is the principle we must apply in our lives. If we love others, we are to be prepared to lay our rights. If we love the people of God, we will be happy to do anything to them such that we might not be a stumbling block. We might not hinder them in their spiritual growth or in coming to know Christ. So, Paul is saying, I told you that you have your liberty, but your liberty must be limited by love. And here is myself as an example to you. I had a liberty to be supported by you, but I laid it down such that the gospel might advance, such that you, the Corinthian church, might hear the gospel. And the point is, for us, we should be willing to let go our rights, such that we might not become a stumbling block to others, and also that it would be an opportunity for us to make sure that the gospel reaches to the lost. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are grateful that we have your word, and we know that for us it's not easy to die to self, because we are lovers of self. But we know that through your Holy Spirit, you would help us to die to self and to take up the cross and follow you, Lord Jesus Christ. And we do desire that many would come to know you. Even in this room, we are praying for those that are lost. We pray with also a desire that they would come to know you. Help us to use every opportunity that we have to share the gospel with people. Help us to love even unbelievers to the point that we will be able to share the gospel with them, because we have the good news. We know that you have saved us, and we know that we will be with you one day. So please, Lord, help us to rejoice and delight in sharing the gospel with other people. And we pray also that would you grant us opportunities this week to be able to point many to you and help us to replace the fear of men by fearing you, such that we might be bold in sharing the gospel and also in being faithful. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.